It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
It's time for episode 143 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week I've got a fun interview with James Asmus, one of the creators behind Quantum and Woody, the current incarnation at Valiant. It's a great book and a lot of fun, and we talk about how he approaches the comic and some special things that are coming as far as Quantum and Woody are concerned, including The Delinquents, which is out now. There's a lot to get to, so let's get to it. Okay, I want to welcome to the podcast James Asmus, a writer, actor, and comedian who is known for writing some Valiant books that are great fun, including Quantum and Woody and The Delinquents, which are out right now. How are you doing today, James?
Really well. How are you?
Good. It's good to talk with you. Quantum Woody, of course, is great fun.
Thank you.
You guys do a wonderful job on that book and some other ones, and with The Delinquents. Why don't we start off by talking about how you got involved with Quantum and Woody with Valiant? How did that come to pass?
Well, that's a good question. My understanding of it is that the editor at the time who was trying to find someone to tackle it, Jody LaHoop, he had read the creator when I was doing this image called The End Times of Bram and Ben, and that was a bad behavior buddy comedy. And his, at the time, roommate, Sebastian Gerner, was our editor. And my understanding is, while Jody was casting around trying to find someone who could write a bad behavior buddy comedy in Quantum of Woody, you know, his roommate was like, there's a guy doing that right now in a different book, and you know, you should probably check this out. So he reached out to me kind of out of the blue and asked if I would pitch. And it wasn't a straight up, you know, book's yours if you want it. I had to kind of come back for them with, you know, my take on it. And luckily for me, they were really into the exact same idea that got me very excited. I had so much fun coming up with concepts, and they went for it.
Now, had you read Quantum and Woody before?
Yes, but not when it was first coming out. I missed it because it was in the dark years of me not being able to afford comics while I was in college. But once I got back into reading comics, once I had a job, my shop actually recommended it to me and was like, you know, based on all the other stuff you read, I think you would really dig this. But I wasn't able to get all of the issues until Valiant approached me, and to me I was like, well, even if I don't get the job, they're sending me the PDFs of all the issues I didn't have before, so that would be, at the very least, really serendipitous.
Oh, good. Now, for people who don't happen to know, those few people who don't understand what Quantum and Woody's about, do you want to explain what the basic premise is of the comic?
Sure. So there are some minor changes between the original and ours, but I'll talk in context of our version. So it's basically a pair of estranged foster brothers who don't quite get along and have spent many years apart. And then when the man who raised them both dies in sort of mysterious circumstances, they're reunited and try to solve his murder or death, even though they are not in any way qualified to do so. And in the process, an accident gives them superpowers that, again, they should not have. These men are not cut out for your standard superheroics. And from there on, they become Quantum and Woody and sort of fall backwards into trouble. And, you know, the tagline was always the world's worst superhero team. And it really is about really flawed people having superpowers. And the team is rounded out by a super intelligent goat with its own superpowers. And I think that also is very telling about the book. I'm trying not to give away too many of the twists and turns the story takes, in case people are intrigued by this and want to pick it up. I don't want to spoil too much, but yeah, that's the gist of it. It's really heavily about the relationship between the two guys, as silly as the book can be, and as absurd. There's a lot of genuine emotion under it all, and there is a lot of great action and ridiculousness. We've had some amazing artists. So it delivers on the comic book front, but has a little bit more focus on the relationships and the kind of character-driven humor than you see in most books.
Now, your work on this book has gotten you some attention. You came in second place for the Stan Lee Excelsior Award this year. Your first volume, World's Worst, came in second place, so that's pretty good.
That's kids in the UK for their school libraries. Yeah, they vote on their favorite comics of the year. It felt really subversive to realize that this was in libraries. I was like school libraries. So I was pretty tickled by that.
That's great. Now, then you were nominated for three awards under the Harvey Awards, Best Writer, Most Promising New Talent, and Special Award for Humor in Comics.
Yes.
Have they given out the Harvey Awards yet for this year?
No, not yet. That's going to happen at the Baltimore Comic Con, which will be in like a week and a half.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. So you'll find out. Are you going to be there by any chance?
I am. I don't know if this will post before then, but if any of your listeners are in Baltimore, I will be there all weekend. I'll have a table, and I'll be signing at the Valiant booth as well.
Oh, cool. Now, the thing that makes me smile is that you're nominated for Most Promising New Talent, but yet when I look up your list of things that you've done, you've been actually creating comics since 2008.
Yeah. Yes. I think it's just that most of the people didn't pay any attention to what I did before last year. Yeah, that definitely made me laugh. I noticed, you know, that's also true for several other people in the category with me. I will say the first, like, 3 years that I did comics, I was just doing kind of short stories and anthologies and maybe one-shots here or there. So maybe, like, 2 years ago was the first time I really did kind of an extended series. You know, I'm not going to talk them out of letting me do for something, but I did, yeah, I felt pretty, I don't know, I'm from the Midwest. It's very difficult for me to deal with the idea of being nominated for anything. that one especially, I felt kind of embarrassed in a wonderful way. It's the best kind of uncomfortable embarrassment.
Well, you know, you're one of those overnight sensations that's years in the making.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, comics, like most art, is kind of full of those because, I mean, the truth is it's very hard to be great at a discipline out of the gate. So, you know, we all kind of spend our time honing our abilities in relative obscurity, and then you kind of find the project that brings out the best of your voice, and you get the right collaborators, and then there's just some inexplicable little remaining piece where you just catch the zeitgeist in the right way where people are excited about it. And then everyone thinks you came out of nowhere.
Isn't that odd? It's the most amazing thing. But that's not only in comics. That happens in a lot of places. You know?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I have a bunch of friends who are like screenwriters or actors, and they kind of experience the same thing.
Well, aren't you a screenwriter and an actor, too?
Yes. Yes, and that's why I have those friends. but I'm doing much more writing than performing these days, especially since I've had so many opportunities to write in the last few years. I've come to appreciate that's more consistently fulfilling than performing for me, just because when you are an actor, you have to audition, and there's so much time you spend trying to get jobs that don't materialize, and then when you do get one, it might not be material you're excited about. And I realized when I write, I can just do my damnedest to make it fulfilling every time. And also, I can just wait until someone offers me a writing job. I don't have to go out and handle for them every day the way you do as an actor. So
My
time is much more filled with doing what I actually like doing now. So.
Oh, that's good.
Now
you've done, now you understand, and we need to talk a little bit about what's going on actually with Quantum Woody at the moment. You've written issues 1 through 12, and then of course you wrote Quantum Woody Goat Number 0.
That's correct.
Yeah, so you've written like 13 issues of that, and now they're over into Delinquents with Archer and Armstrong. Do you want to talk about the Delinquents and what that's all about?
Sure. So Valiant has another humor-tinged buddy adventure book, for lack of a better term, in Archer and Armstrong, and that was from the original Valiant line in 1992, rebooted in this Valiant relaunch by the fantastically smart and hilarious Fred Van Lente. And those guys, Archer and Armstrong, have been kind of their own mismatched pair. And we kind of knew, as soon as Quantum and Woody launched, Valiant fans were sort of asking when these two pairs were going to cross over. And I was hoping to do that from the beginning as well, because I'm a huge fan of Fred's work, and that's actually what got me to be reading the Valiant Universe when it relaunched, before they even approached me. So I knew it would be fun to do that, and I've been friends with Fred for a while. So anyway, we finally struck on something that just sounded like too much fun to not do, which was this idea. Archer and Armstrong, in their series, do a lot of conspiracy theory investigation, uncovering, and in our book, we have our guys kind of falling backwards into awkward social conflicts, and they're not always on the clear-cut right side of any equation. So we decided to mash those things up and have a big, fun summer adventure kind of series. So it's a four-issue mini-series, and the basic premise is that Armstrong is basically an immortal and spends his time kind of drinking, carousing, and just getting into new experiences. So in our story, we're revealing that he spent much of the Depression as a hobo riding the rails. And when they realized he was immortal, they trusted him with the map to the lost treasure of the hobos. Well, it wasn't lost at the time. Armstrong is why it's lost. But the map itself was tattooed on the former King of the Hobos' butt cheek. And when he died, he passed his flayed butt cheeks on to the next man to guard the treasure. And so that should give you the sense of, like, the right degree of absurd and lowbrow carousing humor that is in store for you in this book. But, so in his drunken stupor, Armstrong lost half of the map and didn't even realize it, and kind of quit being a hobo soon thereafter, and years later finds out someone is after the treasure and hired Quantum and Woody once he found the other half of the map to go track it down. So now each side of the team have one half of the map. They're both looking for the treasure, and they're a bit at odds. You know, hijinks ensue. Becomes kind of a road trip across America with total ridiculousness and Americana, kind of ways you haven't seen before.
So is Archer and Armstrong in one group, or have the groups mixed up? What's going on as far as, like, who's working with who?
Well, when we start, it's Archer and Armstrong on one side of the equation, Quantum and Woody on the other. And we definitely have some fun shaking up the dynamics between the team, but I'll let that unfold in the pages. But a huge part of our joy is in ricocheting these characters off of each other. And through different, I don't know, tropes of what we think of as kind of Norman Rockwell America, kind of bent through the lens of how we actually think it's all kind of evolved. Fred and I are both very, I think, satirically minded people. So we kind of take our opportunity to scattershot some caricatures of all different aspects of the country.
Very cool, because both books are not what you call serious comics in a pure sense. You guys have action and adventure going on, but it's definitely through a jaundiced eye, and that's what makes the books a lot of fun compared to the other books that are out today. So it's pretty cool stuff.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and you know, I think Fred and I both try to work too to do it through the perspective of character. so that it doesn't just become an issue of Mad Magazine, but you still really have characters you can invest in, and they have sort of growth and arcs. And it's a tricky balance, but it's one we work hard at. And I think I'm really happy with how it's all going in The Delinquent. And actually, I should mention, too, for The Delinquent, we very consciously wrote it so that if you've never read an issue of Quantum and Woody, or you've never read an issue of Archer and Armstrong, that's no problem. You could jump in with Delinquents number one, and everything you need to know to enjoy the series will be built in there. You'll get all the information as you need it, and we won't overload you with too much of the backstory that isn't really necessary. So it should just be a fresh, fun 4 issues that you can hop in and have a good time and get a sense of, do you want to follow these characters in their books?
Now, is Archer and Armstrong and Quantum Woody going on the same time that Delinquents is coming out, or are those books taking a break?
They're both taking a break. I believe Archer and Armstrong is going to have a special issue number 25 come out during The Delinquents, but for the most part, their book is on hold while we do Delinquents. And Quantum and Woody is on hold for The Delinquents because Fred and I plotted it together, but I'm scripting a series, and I can only write one comedy book a month because it takes me about twice as long to do as it does to just do a more kind of straight comic. Just because it takes so much more revision and kind of precision to make a joke work in comics than it does, you know, just to have a kind of straight narrative.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's cool. So once The Delinquents number 4 comes out after that, then Quantum and Woody will start back up again?
Well, okay, so then actually we will be in the midst of a pretty amazing thing, which is the original creators of Quantum and Woody from the 90s, Christopher Priest and Doc Bright, have reunited, I want to say, like 16, 17 years after when they left off on the series, and they are doing a sort of alternate reality. They're doing their version of the characters in real time, so like 20 years since they started as characters. And they're doing a mini-series called Q2, The Return of Quantum and Woody. And that is a mini-series that they have pretty much finished now. They've been working on for the last, like, year and a half. And they're the guys who originally came up with the characters, and they're doing an extension of their series from the 90s. And so that's going to run after The Delinquents.
Okay.
And actually, it might even be starting right before The Delinquents is finished. I believe their series is starting in October. And that's coinciding with the release of an omnibus of their complete original run of like 30 issues or so, which is a tremendous series. And I think you can pre-order that now. If you are a fan of the characters and didn't know that this was coming out, yeah, the omnibus of their collection is coming out in October, so tell your shop.
Okay, well, that's good. As far as their universe and your universe, might you guys actually cross over the two universes and have the two different Quantum and Woodies meet?
That is something that, since I knew they were working on that, I have been really tickled by that idea. And it's something I have expressed interest in to Valiant. I know that they want to kind of get their new miniseries wrapped up before I think we would figure out anything about if that's possible or how we could do it or what. But I certainly would love for that to be the case. And I push for that, but we'll see. There's always a bunch of factors that I don't control in publishing, sadly.
Well, it would be fun because of the time difference and because of, you know, just different creators on the book. Your version is going to have some differences, and it might be fun to have the two of them bump up against each other and see what the differences are.
Definitely.
So I would like to see that. That would be a lot of fun. I think you guys, both you guys have had to have your own unique aspects to it. And to bring Quantum and Woody together like that would be quite a nice event, I would say, for Valiant to do.
Yeah, well, you know, I knew from the beginning it would be a mistake if I just tried to imitate Christopher Priest's style that I loved and was happy to try and bring forward from his series, but I had to kind of chase my own instincts into the book. So, yeah, there are definitely differences, and I think it would be fun to put those next to each other.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, for people who don't know, Quantum is the guy with the superhero outfit on, right?
Yes, yeah, and Woody is the guy who refused to dress up and take a code name. So I think right there, that so brilliantly sells the way that they kind of, the series was originally designed to kind of take some of the air out of superhero bombast in a way. Mm-hmm. Like it inherently kind of skewers some of the tropes and cliches of superhero comics in a way that's really fun to do. But without, you know, it doesn't become a Looney Tunes cartoon either. They're still characters invested in their own experience and reality. It just becomes a little bit more savvy rather than just kind of a lockstep superhero mm-hmm. story.
You know, I hate to see your end, your version of Quantum and Woody come to an end. Once their thing is done, are you going to be back into your reality of Quantum and Woody?
Yeah, we haven't announced anything, but we're talking about a lot of possibilities. Mm-hmm. I certainly have a bunch of other stuff I would like to do with Quantum and Woody, mm-hmm. but I don't want to speak out of turn. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like there's a lot of interest in it, and you know, I think certainly the kindness bestowed upon us by the Harvey Awards is kind of not lost on Valiant, so I think we're all definitely mindful of wanting to do some more.
Mm, very cool. Very cool. So, well, that's good stuff. Now, I did want to mention, because I'm really looking forward to, maybe we should ask one question real quick. How many issues at this point of Delinquents have come out? It's one?
I think just one is out so far, yeah.
So if people want to catch up on it, now's the time to go into the store if you haven't gotten it already and
yes.
pick up a back issue.
Yes, and my understanding is that it's sold out at the distributor, and there are orders coming in, so I believe they're going to do a reprint.
Oh, good. A second print.
So it should definitely be available for you if this is piquing your interest.
Oh, very good. So maybe it'll come out the same time that issue number 2 comes out.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll have it available for that. Valiant's mm-hmm. always been really good about it.
Good. Well, that's good to hear, because it would be a shame to see this come to an end, as much fun as you guys are having with it.
Thank you.
That would be good. Now, as far as other stuff that you've done, I do want to mention just a couple of things I want to talk about. You got into doing a bunch of X-Men stuff. And
yes.
I'm really kind of fascinated by that because, you know, the X franchise is something that Marvel's looking to reinvigorate. And I thought your stuff really helped that along quite a bit.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, the X-Men is actually that's the kind of subset of characters I got the most excited by in my youth. And that was kind of what I always followed the most over time. So when that was the original pool I was invited to play in comics, I couldn't have been happier. Yeah, those characters are very real to me in a way that, you know, things from our youth tend to stay kind of vibrant.
Mm-hmm.
And so I definitely had a lot of joy and love and energy to put into those characters, so I always had fun with it. Yeah, I hope to do more in that field at some point, but I definitely had to take a step away for some scheduling stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When we were launching Quantum and Woody, I was also working on a television show last year that ended up taking up a lot more of my time than I initially expected, so I kind of had to take myself out of other comics writing jobs for a while.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the danger of playing in a couple of different pools. You never know which pool is going to be the one to take up the most time.
Yeah, especially that project was kind of evolving underneath us after I had already started it, so it definitely ended up being a bigger endeavor than I initially thought it would be. It was a wonderful experience.
Mm-hmm.
But that definitely kind of threw off my plan for the year. You know, I'm thrilled to have done it, but it definitely meant that I had to make a sort of unceremonious exit from doing Marvel projects.
Okay, are there any other projects we should be aware of before we let you go?
There's a bunch of stuff that will be announced soon, but unfortunately nothing I can say just yet. I am working on a new project with a co-creator on End Times of Bram and Ben, the book that got me Quantum and Woody, and it'll be another flawed character comedy, so keep your eyes peeled for that.
Okay. Well, much success, James, as you go forward. I hope you win a couple of those awards, at least in Baltimore.
Thank you.
Okay, well, we'll look forward to seeing more of Quantum and Woody from you, Mother. Good stuff.
Okay, thank you. Good talking with you.
Good talking with you, too.
dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, from flesh and blood, I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
Now at MajorSpoilers.com. And that's it for this episode. We're getting closer to episode 150, so look for something special to happen during that episode. But until then, keep reading your comics.